joining us today. My name is Hannah Bussey. I'm part of our Worship Arts staff team, and this is a great band of volunteers up here with me. I want to invite you to stand, if you're able, as we get our time started today, connecting with one another in community and connecting with our God through worship and looking into the scriptures together. So let's start by singing these songs about being thankful to God. Here we go. Called Enough For Me. This is a song that several of our worship leaders wrote together, and the song is all about how God's love is enough for us no matter what season we find ourselves in, that his love is always reaching out to us His love is unfailing. And so we're going to sing this song again this week. Invite you to join with us. My friends Stephen and Natalie are going to lead us.
You spoke a word. You spoke a new word through my morning. I sing a new song here today. Death to life now is my story. I sing to you, only to you.
Redeemed to live my life in your presence. Redeemed to sing your song once again. Death to life found in your glory, I sing to you, only to you. I praise the one who calms the storm and parts the waters. I praise the one who calls the broken sons and daughters.
To live my life in we can proclaim this song with faith, God, that, that you are greater than those deficiencies in our life. Where there's lack, God, you want to fill in those spaces. And God, we, many of us praised you in this song for doing that. And yet, there's still spaces to fill. And God, we believe by faith right now that you're going to fill those spaces. God, that what you've done in the past, you're going to do again. Because you're a great God. Because you love us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name. Amen.
Amen. You guys can go ahead and grab your seats. Well, here at Blackhawk, one of the things that we are committed to is helping kids from birth all the way through high school learn what it means to know and follow Jesus. And so today we get the opportunity as a church family to share in just a small piece of that journey through a covenant that we call child dedication. And so at this time, I'm gonna invite up a couple of families, the Redeker family and the Toygo family. They're gonna come on up here and we're gonna have the opportunity to participate in this child dedication with them. While they're making their way up here, for those of you who are unfamiliar, a child dedication is simply an opportunity that we get as a church family and as parents to commit to walking alongside these kids as they discover for themselves who Jesus is and his plan for their lives. And this is also an opportunity that we get to pray for them. So it's one of my favorite things to do, you guys. This is so fun. Great. If you guys want to come on over, maybe we can get you maybe over towards the middle. That'd be great. You guys want to come over this way? Oh, yeah, we'll just kind of scooch you over. That way we can see. Yeah, you guys can come on up here. Maybe come up a little closer. Awesome, you guys. All right, well, here we go. So I'm going to introduce you guys. So we have, first up is Mila, and also big sister Layla. We were just talking about, she remembers, you know, when she was, did her child dedication not too long ago, which is great. And then we have parents Ross and Michelle. So you guys, thanks for being here. And then we also have Grayson over here. Hello, Grayson. And with big brother Sawyer, and then mom and dad Sam and Katie. So you guys, on behalf of all of us, we are so just honored that you would invite us into this child dedication with you guys. As a church family, we love you and we're excited to be doing this. So yeah. All right, so at this point, I'm gonna invite your guys' participation. So I'm gonna start with parents, but when I get to y'all, you'll have something to say, we will too. And so I'm gonna start with you guys. You guys good at that? Okay, here we go. All right, so let's see here. Will you, parents, care for, nurture, and love the children that God has entrusted to you? And will you trust him that all that is to come in their lives in the years ahead? Great. And will you continue to invest in your own relationship with God, to continuing to live a life that is empowered by the Spirit, and to raising your child in a faith community that will love and support them? Awesome, awesome, you guys. All right, if you're able to, please stand for your part. Awesome. Okay, so family and friends, will you encourage, support, and love these families in all that is to come? Will you come alongside them in good times and in hard times and walk with them through all seasons of life, encouraging them to continue to grow in their relationships with one another and with the Lord? You will. Awesome. Would you join me in praying? So God, I thank you for Grayson. I thank you for Mila. Father, they are gifts from you. God, we thank you for the ways that you've already started knitting them together, that they have, their personalities are beginning to show. And God, we just thank you for the opportunity to do this today as a church family. And so God, we pray for them. We pray that they, through all the valleys and the mountains of life, God, the twists and turns that will come their way, Lord, we pray, God, that they would know your love and your faithfulness and your goodness and your kindness in their lives, Father. And we pray that they would walk with you their whole lives. And God, we pray for parents, Lord. Parenting is not easy. Parenting is quite the journey. And so God, we pray for grace for them. We pray for compassion for themselves, Lord. Would you encourage them and empower them to parent well and point their kids to Jesus? And so God, today we want to dedicate. these kiddos to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. You guys, thanks so much. We're so honored to be able to do this with you. So awesome. Awesome. Y'all, church family, thanks for doing that. You go ahead and go and grab your seats. Well, if we haven't met, my name is Tiffany, and I'm one of the pastors on staff. So it's good to be together this morning, isn't it? It's good to be together. If this is your first time with us, joining us, a special welcome to you. We'd actually love to get to know you. So if you, after the service, if you want to introduce yourself at the Next Steps area, just outside these doors, we have a small gift for you just as our way of saying that we're really glad that you're here today. All right, well, you guys, if you've been around here for a while, you know that one of our distinctives here is a multicultural community. And so God has been creating us into a multicultural community over the past many years. And so in light of that, we have a fun opportunity coming up to host a conference for multicultural churches. It's going to be on Saturday, November 9th, here at our Braderway location. And this conference is put on by an organization called Mosaics. And so for the past, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so, we have been sending small teams to Texas, to Chicago, to these conferences just to be able to learn and to grow. And so, you guys, we are so pumped that we get to have this conference hosted here this year. Because that means that more of us are able to come and to learn and to grow from it. And so if you volunteer in any way here at Black Hawk Church a couple of weeks ago, you should have received an email invitation to this conference that had a little promo code in it for a discount. So if you got that and you haven't registered, let me encourage you to do that soon. But say you're here and you don't volunteer and so you haven't gotten that email, but you're still interested, that is awesome. You can find more information for this on our website as well as a promo code listed on our website as well. So you guys, listen, even if you guys decide that you don't wanna come, you're not able to come, can I ask you to pray for this conference and to pray for those people attending? Because you guys, we're excited about what God's doing here in our church family, and we want to be able to continue to grow as a multicultural church more and more in health and just learning what it means to do this well. And so so thanks for praying. We're so excited. We hope that you'll join us for that. If you have any questions, feel free to grab one of us after the service. Also going on, so today, in case you forgot, today is Trunk or Treat here at Braderway as well as at Fitchburg from 4 to 6 p.m. So if you have kids, we hope that you'll come, invite classmates and neighbors and coworkers. It should be a fun time. And if you happen to be at the store today and you happen to go down to the Halloween candy aisle, if you want to purchase some and drop it off before 3 p.m., we could really use it. So would love you to participate in that way if you have the chance, but no worries if not. So good. Okay, I think that's all I have for us today. So with that, I'm going to hand it off to Matt for today's message.
Well, hey, welcome everybody to Black Hawk Church. Welcome to everybody who is joining us at all sites, all venues right now, online. Welcome Black Hawk family. It's good to have a chance to all of us be able to be together again right now. And if I haven't had a chance to meet you, if you're new around here, my name's Matt, and I'm the senior pastor here at Black Hawk, and we're really glad wherever it is that you are that you're joining with us right now. Hey, before I get into the message, I wanted to just take a minute to be able to talk to our Black Hawk family. In other words, those of you who consider, you know, Black Hawk Church to be your home church. This is the place that you're a part of. You're a part of the community. And really, I mean, a big part of what I wanted to do was just to say thank you. Thank you for the ways that you just continue to use your time and your resources to be able to pour into our church. To really help the message of the gospel of Jesus to go forward. I mean, you guys, you don't just give of your finances, you give candy. I mean, that's amazing, the fact that you would be willing to do that. When I think about the things that have happened already this past week and are happening this next week around here, you know, we had this incredible baptism service that happened over in the Gospel Fusion venue on Friday night, and where we saw close to 20 people who took the step of being baptized and got to hear their stories of the ways that God works, is working in their lives. And then today, to think the trunk or treat is happening, you know, not just at Fitchburg where it's happened in the past, but now here at Brader Way as well. And I'll tell you guys, we are going to see so many people who are coming to that event who don't come to our church, who have been invited by friends or family, who have seen things on social media or signs that we've had out in front of our church. And they're going to come and check things out, which is, we're praying that it is a step for them to hopefully at some point come back and see who it is that we are as a church, that it would continue in that direction to where they would come to the place of realizing the love that Jesus has for them. That's the reason why we do things like this. We want to love our community really well. We get a chance to do that. And then, I mean, another event that you might not even have heard of that's coming up this coming Friday night, where our middle school ministry is going old school and having Friday night a lock-in. Yes, a lock-in. How many of you at some point went to a lock-in and you were like, I'm not sure I ever want to go to one of those again, but they have come back around and resurged. And let me tell you, I mean, they put this event together. They have over 150 middle school students that are coming to this on Friday night. So we can be praying. So for everyone, middle schoolers, if you're coming, you are going to love this event. But I just see all of these things that happen around our church. Gosh, it just makes me so proud of our church and the ways that God is working in so many different places that we don't even get to see so often. There are so many things that God's going to do in the lives of people this week and in this past week that, man, we never hear the stories of. But we know that God is working in massive ways to draw people to himself. Amen? And so here's what I want to do. You know, I know that in this season right now, we're headed into the holiday season. And in the holiday season, one thing that happens is that you, all of us, we get all kinds of asks from nonprofits and different groups about considering making an end of the year gift to them. And I just wanted to be able to get up here as the senior pastor and unapologetically say that if you consider Black Hawk your home, I'm just asking, as you're looking at places, if you look at giving end of the year gifts to different places, would you just put Black Hawk on your short list of places where you can give to? Because I believe so deeply, you all, in what it is that God is doing here. And so I'm asking that you would just consider helping us out here at the end of the year. Right now, within our budget, we're running, I don't know, I think right around about $140,000 behind budget. That's pretty normal during this time of the year because we see money come in. So regardless, at the end of the year. So regardless if it's that or if it's Project Tech, would you just consider seeing ways that you might be able to give generously and continue to give to our church? And thank you again for all of you who already do that. Many of you, so many of you are already in the game in the way you give and the way you serve, and I'm grateful. So here's what I want to do. I want to take a minute just to be able to pray for some of these different events coming up this week, that God would just continue to use our church in a big way. So let's pray together. God, thank you for the way that you continue to use our church. Thank you for the way that you have used our church in my life and my family's life to help understand who you are. I pray, Lord, that you would, with this trunk or treat event happening at Fitchburg and here at Brader Way, you would just use that in massive ways in the lives of people. And I pray for everything that's going to take place Friday night with the middle school lock-in. God, would you just pour out your spirit on these different events and use them greatly in the lives of people, that folks would walk away with a deeper understanding of who you are. You would use it in their journey to come to a place of realizing who you are as the God of the universe, who loves them more than they can imagine. So we give this to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. And God, it actually also, one other thing I want to pray for, as we enter now into this message where we get a chance to open scripture and take a look at who you are, I pray that you would do deep work in us to help us understand more of who you are, that we all would walk away changed, transformed in some way, that we would look more like you. So we give this to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people together said, amen. So, we are in the middle of a series right now, but before I get into that series, you might notice here that I have orange juice on stage with me. How many of you, okay, poll of everybody, all sides of venues, how many of you enjoy a good glass of orange juice every once in a while? Yeah, you're orange juice people. All right, that's pretty good. I am one of those people who I enjoy a good glass of orange juice regardless. I mean, this is always an interesting debate, and it can get more heated than some of the political stuff that goes on. Are you a pulp or no pulp person when it comes to your orange juice? That's big. How many of you are like, no pulp, strain it all out, all I want is the juice? Yeah, so you're the people we're praying for on a regular basis because you're missing out on what orange juice really was intended to be. Now, how many of you are, I've totally just played my card there. How many of you are like, just take a straw, shove it in the orange and suck all the juice and pulp out? You're high pulp. Yes, yes, absolutely. I am one of those people. But in all honesty, I'll drink it either way. I just like orange juice. Surprise, surprise, I'm from Florida. That's like the orange juice capital of the United States of America. We had an orange tree growing on the side of our house when I was growing up. So I've always been an orange juice person. So, and I, you know, I get up early on Sunday mornings. I haven't had a chance to have any. So I thought that I would, as I'm kind of unpacking some of this, that I would just have a glass of orange juice in front of you all. So to all of you who haven't had any and would love to have a glass, cheers to you right now. So, that's good. That's really good. Wish that you had a glass yourself. So anyway, we are in this series right now called The Kingdom of God. We decided as a teaching team that it would be worth it in this season, in this political season where we're in, where we are all taking a look in more so than usual at the earthly kingdom of this world, that for us who have placed our faith in Jesus, that we would pull up above that and take a look at the true kingdom that we have been invited to be a part of, the kingdom of God, and really be able to major on the majors in this particular season. And so we came up with a 7-week series called The Kingdom of God. And this is week 3 of that series. And the thing that we're supposed to talk about today is that the kingdom of God is a kingdom on a mission. In other words, that we are called to be a part of a mission that God has invited us to be a part of. You know, when we look at the word mission altogether, it's interesting to realize that the word mission actually comes from the Latin word missio, which means to be sent. That we're, the whole idea of being on mission is that we are sent for a reason, for a purpose. And this idea, when it comes to the mission of God, actually goes all the way back to the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, when God actually has his first conversation with a man named Abram. Abram, who he would later, God would later rename him as Abraham, all taking place in Genesis chapter 12. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. For just a minute, we're gonna take a look at this passage. Now, Abram, who also is known as Abraham, and I'm just telling you, I potentially am going to call him both in this time as we talk about it, so don't hold that against me. But Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, let's begin looking at this here. And the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and all people on the earth will be blessed through you. Notice that very, like right away in this passage, you see the word go. It's this idea of being sent. First conversation recorded about Abram and God, and God is immediately sending Abram out. Sending him away from everything that he knew, all that was comfortable, all that was safe, all that felt like normal to him, sending him out. And God's words to him were, look, Abram, I am going to bless you and I'm going to bless your people so that in turn you will be a blessing to others. And really, this has been the plan of God all along from that time, like all the way forward, that God always wanted to have people who were connected to him on mission with him that he would bless in order that they would be a blessing to other people who they come in contact with. It's kind of like this, sort of like a glass of orange juice. So let's say that this pitcher, okay, is my life. Right here. And this here, this container of orange juice, this is God. And the orange juice that is poured out is the blessing of God. Okay, so God says, Matt, look, I am going to bless your life. I'm gonna bless your life with the relationship that you and I have together that's gonna transform you. But then also, I mean, like, if we think about it, like, just from the Western world that many of us live in, all of us live in, that that we would think of it as, you know, God saying, hey, I'm going to give you a place to live. And I'm going to give you a job and a paycheck that comes in. I am going to give you friends that are going to transform your life. I am going to give you a church that you can be a part of. I am going to give you gifting. In other words, you're going to be good at particular things that are going to affect the lives of others. I'm going to give you wisdom from experiences that you have. And all of these things, these begin to fill me up. And see, I think the thing that some of us can have the tendency to do is to go, oh my gosh, look at the way that God has blessed me. This is amazing. And I am going to just love these gifts that God has given me. I am going to get a massive long straw and just enjoy all of this to myself. Look at the way that God has blessed me. But see, the reality is, if I see the way that God has created me as a human, he's created me with this little lip right here. You see this? Because you see, the idea of God is that we are made to be blessed by him, to be a blessing to others. So I'm created this way, not just to store OJ, but actually to pour OJ over and into the lives of others, that my life would be blessed so that I would bless others. I am poured into so I can be poured out of in order to bless other people. Would anyone like a glass of orange juice right now? So this is not a figurative thing. This is real. So Carol, you're the first one that I saw. So there you go. Enjoy. Nectar of the gods right there. Enjoy a good glass of OJ. And see, here's the thing. Like, when we think about that, when we think about this idea of God creating us, not just to be stored up for our own consumption, but to be poured out onto the lives of others. This is the way God created us. God created us to be on mission with him. And he created us to be able to do it this way. But the question you should be asking is, okay, great, I see that. I am poured into, it's not all supposed to be about me, it's supposed to be poured out. But what is the mission of God? Like, what is it that I am called to be poured out for? That's a great question. We actually get that perspective in another really famous passage of scripture where we get the idea of what it is that God actually calls us to. It all happens in a conversation that Jesus has with his followers right before he is, after he has died, risen again from the grave, triumphant over sin, and now he is spending days, we have talked about this, a series of days with his followers, helping them to understand what the kingdom of God is all about. Remember, Jesus is the one who, if we look at all the different things that he taught about in scripture, he taught about the kingdom of God more than anything else. That's incredible for us to wrap our minds around. And in that, he gives people a picture of what it is, the mission that he is calling them to be a part of is the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 28, which is a famous passage of scripture, also known as the Great Commission. The Great Commission. This is a passage we have talked about here many times. This past week at our baptism service that happened in the Gospel Fusion venue, so in the West Side, Pastor Coley talked about this passage in particular. And the passage says this. Let's turn there. If you've got your Bible, you can go to Matthew 28, starting with verse 18. It says this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go." See, here's that word again, just like in Genesis 12. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This passage here, like, this is considered by, like, so many theologians to be like the one that encapsulates what it is as Christ followers that we are called to. Like, this is the mission that we're invited into here. This whole idea of go and make disciples that we see talked about in verse 19. But the thing that we can do so easily as Christians, I mean, it's a passage we're familiar with, that we can do oftentimes, is we focus on that idea of verse 19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we focus on that area. And we land on this thing that we're supposed to be people who go and we share the message of Jesus with everyone it is that we come into contact with, helping them to see that he opened the door for us to be in right relationship with God by his death and resurrection, paying the payment for our sins, which is offered as a free gift. We're supposed to go share that with people. Like, it's supposed to be this thing that we look at that passage and we go, this is about evangelism. This is about salvation. Like there's discipleship in there. Like this is what we're supposed to be about. But you see, and all of that's true. This is what we would call the gospel or the good news of Jesus. But when we focus on verse 19 and only verse 19, like the thing that happens, we miss actually part of what the good news, the story of the good news, the mission that we're called to actually is all about. If you go to verse 18, we can't forget the fact that Jesus said at the beginning, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now just stop and think about that for a minute. Jesus is making this statement to say that I have authority over everyone and everything else. Every governmental structure, every leader, every king, every dictator, every president, I have authority over all. That's a massive statement that he is making. And if that's actually true, then it makes sense that he would say what he said in verse 20, where he goes on to say, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. You see, Jesus is not just saying, I have come to be your savior. He's saying that because of the authority that I have been given and the things that I have taught you, therefore, I am coming to be king. I am coming to be Lord of all. You see, and all of this, we have to remember this, is good news. You see, Jesus is one who came all together to not just be our savior, but to be our king. So really, the gospel is not just about making Jesus our savior. It's about making him king. So the question that all of us need to answer is when we see that idea, do you see that as good news? Like, do you actually believe that? And the reason why I bring that up is because I think that for a lot of people in today's day and age, I think this can happen. I have conversations with people about this. Like, we can see the good news is about making Jesus our savior. And we love the fact that he came to open the door for us to be in right relationship with God. But the idea of making him king, ooh, we're not so sure we want to go there. So I'm happy to make him savior to where I can spend eternity with God in heaven. But when it comes to my life right now, well, I kind of want to continue to be on the throne. And I would like to just stay in that place of being king. And so we love the idea that salvation is someday where I'll be with God in heaven, but we struggle with the idea of salvation being today where I make God king and Lord of my life right now. And y'all, this is going to be a struggle for all of us. We all have this tendency to make life about us. We want to be on the throne. And what God is asking is that we would be people who we have, it's like we have a grip on our life, that we would strive to like peel our fingers off of this grip that we have, to open our lives up to say, God, whatever it is that you have for me, that's what I want to be a part of. You're king and you're Lord. And so I'm going to be obedient to you. And so here's my life. Here's my goals, my hopes, my dreams, my future. Here's my job. Here's my relationships. Here's my finances. God, it is all yours. I want you to be the one who is king and Lord of everything in my life. Do you see that actually is good news? Because if you love the idea of Jesus being your savior, but at the same time, if we're not striving to make Jesus king within our lives, it's really difficult to be people who are on mission with what it is that God's called us to. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is when it comes to what it is that God's inviting us into to be a part of a mission, are we actually buying what we're selling? It sort of reminds me of, my girls, both of my daughters grew up here in Madison. So we were involved in the school system for years, elementary, middle school, high school. And every year it seemed like there was some fundraiser that would be going on in the school to raise money for the schools. And I believe in the school systems. I believe we need to be giving money to the school systems. But the fundraisers that came up oftentimes, you know, I mean, it would be like the athletic department, or my girls were involved with theater and music. We'd be raising money for that. Was always that, like, we were asked to go door to door and sell stuff. Any of you done this? Like, you remember doing as a kid or did it with your kids? Man, and so like we would go out and be selling popcorn tins or candy bars or wrapping paper or coupon books. And the thing is, I was in it long enough to, after a couple years, to be like, I know what's in those popcorn tins. And it's not very good popcorn. But we would go out and go door to door in our neighborhood, knocking on doors saying, excuse me, hi, we're so-and-so. Would you like to buy a popcorn tin? What I was really saying in the way that I said it when we went to the doors was knock and go, excuse me, you don't really want to buy any of this stuff, do you? Yeah, I don't either. You know, but hey, we're raising money for the school, so would you just pony up and buy something so that we can kind of get some money for the school? Is that okay? You've been there. You've been in that place. And the reason why we feel that way is because we're not really buying what it is that we're selling. You see, I think that for some of us, we've got to come to the place in our lives to realize that the whole entity of the gospel, making Jesus our Savior and making Jesus our King, is something that's worth, man, it's worth selling. But we have to buy into that idea and see all of it is good news. The idea that we have a chance, rather than just sitting on the throne of my life where I'm in control of all things, that I would actually give control to a God who is perfect and completely good and loves me unconditionally and is just in every way and understands this world better than I do. To actually see the idea of making him king is good news. So a big question that we need to deal with is whether or not we buy that. Okay, so let's say that we get to the place of where we actually buy that idea. Like, okay, so then how do we go about living out the mission of God? And this is an important one because you all, living on mission with God is important. But the methods that we use to be on mission with God, they matter. You know, our hope is that we are people, our mission is to be people who live for the idea that there is no greater way to live than under the authority and kingship of Jesus. To help people see that the greatest way to live is under the authority of King Jesus. But the way that we go about sharing that with people, man, it matters. Because if we go about that wrong, we can actually end up doing more damage than good. Rachel and I, we just got back recently from a trip that we were on for a couple weeks. Part of it was work, part of it was vacation, but we were gone from our home for a couple weeks. And it's been a while since we've actually been gone for that long a period of time. And because of that, like, we kind of entered into the thing, I'm sure some of you do, where you're getting ready to go for a trip. And so you're trying to eat up lots of stuff in the fridge that you know is gonna go bad during that time. Your meals kind of get weird at the end because you're like, well, we're just trying to use stuff up. Because you know when you get home, yeah, the stuff's not gonna be good anymore. Well, we got home after a couple of weeks, got home late at night, didn't have time to grocery store, just crashed, we were tired. But the next morning I got up and I was hungry and thirsty, and so I went to the fridge to see, all right, what's around? And we had some orange juice in the fridge. And so I decided, okay, it's been a couple of weeks. I better check the expiration date because my guess is this isn't freshly squeezed anymore. And sure enough, when I looked at it, I realized that it was expired, but it had actually expired more than a week before we left on the trip. It was that. You ever found something in your fridge? You're like, oh boy. And so I saw that and I immediately thought, ain't no way I'm drinking this. And so I went ahead, took the cap off, and I started pouring it down our sink. And as soon as it like hit the sink, it was like the smell of this orange juice like started to waft up and it hit me in the face. Oh, like it made my eyes water. It was some strange combination of like the smells of like vinegar and BO all mixed together in one place. It hit me, and like, if I wasn't awake before, I was awake now. And so I'm running water now to try to get that down the sink as quickly as possible, and yet it like faintly stays in the air for a while, and it was bad. Now here's the thing, the intentions of having orange juice in the house were a good thing. Like the mission of my wife and I going, we wanna be healthy, you know, so we're gonna have orange juice. And you know, it's gonna help us get through flu and cold season, an extra boost of vitamin C, all of that's good. But the method that we used to try to hang on to it, yeah, wasn't the best method. Mission matters, but method that we use matters as well. And here's the thing. I think that when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, it can be really easy for us to be on mission with the idea of making Jesus known, making sure that people understand that the greatest decision we can make is to live under the authority of King Jesus. But the ways that we go about it, we can end up smelling like a bad glass of OJ. Like when you look at the conversations that you have with people about Jesus, do you end up kind of being a person who, like, your goal is to try to argue people into the kingdom? And you talk with sarcasm and disdain because you can't believe that someone actually wouldn't just believe that Jesus actually is the good way. For crying out loud, will you just get on board? Or are you a person who you're known as a Christian, you like to be known as a Christian, and yet the things that you post on social media that have to do with things that are smaller than the kingdom of God and your opinions about them, or the way that you reply to people who you see doing that with hatred and vitriol, man, it ends up smelling like a bad glass of orange juice to the world. You see, our methods that we use, they matter. Because when we come to this place of we decide, yep, I am going to be poured out, the question that you need to be asking yourself, what is it that I truly smell like? You know, because method, it matters. And so you might be looking at yourself right now and going, okay, Matt, well, how do I change that? How do I actually get to a place of changing some of those things in my life? Because we can strive so hard to do it. I'll tell you, the way that we go about being people who smell more like Jesus, well, it's by the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. You see, at the very end of the Great Commission, it says this, it says, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus was telling people, yes, I know I'm about to ascend back to heaven, but I'm always going to be with you. And he was explaining to them in these times that this would happen through the work of the Holy Spirit. Right before Jesus ascended back to heaven, in the book of Acts chapter 1, Jesus actually said this to his followers. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And it goes on to say, Jerusalem, Judea, the ends of the world. The point being made here, Jesus is going to pour out the Holy Spirit so that he is with us in all situations. And that was true of those early followers, and it's been true of everyone who has ever placed their faith in Jesus ever since. That when we make that decision, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. And the Holy Spirit's job in our lives is to be one who helps in the transforming process of making us smell less like the bad parts of us and more like Jesus. Through convicting us, through evaluating, through encouraging, through holding a mirror up to us, that we over time would be people who smell more like Jesus. And so it's worth it for us to stop and take a look in our lives. How is it that we're smelling? Like, this is a little weird. Have you ever done a smell test? You guarantee have. If you're saying you haven't, I don't believe you. We've all had those moments where it's like, I haven't taken a shower yet today, but somebody's at the front door. And you're like, or if you're in a situation, you've been drinking coffee all morning and you're getting into a conversation, you're like, how is my breath? We've all done that. Like when you look at your life and the ways that you respond in situations, what is it that you truly smell like? The Holy Spirit desires to do work in our lives to help us to smell more like Jesus. And you might go, well, what exactly does that look like? And how do I tell whether or not I'm really being transformed more into the image of Jesus? Well, guess what? The scripture actually kind of gives us a grid that we can look at to be able to see how we're doing in that area. Charles talked about it last week in Galatians chapter 5. It's a passage known as the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, the fruit that the Holy Spirit desires to grow in our lives so that we would smell more like Jesus. It's said this way, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Like, this is the fruit that's supposed to be, it's supposed to be growing in our lives. And this fruit grows as we grow in our relationship with Jesus. So that as we spend time in scripture, as we spend time in Bible study, as I spend time in prayer, as I spend time with friends or in my community group in conversation about what's going on in my life, where people can speak into my life and encourage me, when I spend time serving in different places, that in all of those things, it causes this stuff to slowly grow in my life. To where I look at my life and I realize, yeah, I mean, guess what? Like, honestly, when I look at my life, I look and I go, yeah, there are ways, man, over time that I feel like God has transformed me. Now, I still have a long way to go, but there are still things to work on. But at the same time, I'm not who I used to be. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm also not where I used to be. And I can see the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in me. So my question is, what do you smell like right now? Like, if we were all to kind of do one of these, you know, spiritually, right now, what is it that you're smelling like? And in light of that, what's the work that you need to invite the Holy Spirit to be doing inside of you? Because God has called all of us to be on mission in a massive way to help the world understand that there is no greater way to live than under the authority of King Jesus. The people would make Jesus their savior and their king. That we see that as good news. Okay, now, stop for a minute and think about that. Like, all of us, people here in this room where I am, people in Gospel Fusion and Traditions in our Chinese venue, people from our Spanish-speaking Bible study downtown in Fitchburg, collectively, all of us, like, we're a pretty big group. Imagine if we got this right. Imagine just within our church, if all of us said, yep, okay, I'm a Christ follower, I'm a believer in Jesus, yep, I'm on mission. I want to be on mission. I want to be a person who is going to be poured out onto the lives of other people. And my desire is that when they smell the aroma of what is poured out, they smell less of me and more like Jesus. Imagine what could take place if we became people who bought into that idea. In all the spheres of influence, regardless if you're a middle school student or a college student or a 20-something or a parent or a retiree, regardless of the color of our skin or the nationality that we hold or the place in life that we're living or the socioeconomic status that we are a part of, if all of us got this in all the places where we are, think of the difference that it could make. Like in our workplaces and everything from the campus to the Capitol, regardless if that's UW or Edgewood or Madison College. At the places where we do life. Because here's the thing. God says, I'm sending you, so go. Go to your neighborhoods and the condos that you live in and the dorms that you're in for this season of life. Go to the workplaces that you're at and the pickleball groups that you hang out in and the CrossFit gyms that you work out at. Go to the clubs that you're at in school and the classrooms that you're in, private or public. Go to the places where you have influence. Go to the book clubs and the garden clubs that you're a part of. Go to the places where your kids are playing, you know, youth athletics, and go in those places and help people to see who I am. Allow yourself to take the blessings that I've given you and pour those out over the lives of others, so that when they smell that aroma because of the work the Holy Spirit is doing in you, they would see me and desire to give their lives to Jesus. That they would realize the greatest way to live is under the authority of King Jesus when we make him our savior and we make him our Lord. Somebody better say an amen right now. You see, when we live that way, the impact that we could have, it could change the world. So here's what I want to do for a minute. Look, in just a couple minutes, you're going to be headed out of here. All of our sites and venues, you're headed to all kinds of things you're going to be doing today. A lot of you have kids that you need to pick up. Others of you are going different places to get things done. There's a Packer game at noon you got to be ready for. There are all the different things that are going on. And it can be very easy to kind of go, yeah, nice message, and just go about our day. What I want to do for just a minute is I want to give us an opportunity just to be able to allow the Spirit of God just to speak to us. For some of you, that's already been happening. I want to just give us a chance to be able to do a little business with God, just to invite the Spirit of God to come in and speak to us. Because I believe that there are things that he potentially would want to say to you in a moment like this. And so I know for some of you, you're like, man, I'm not even sure that I believe in Jesus. I get that. We're so glad that you're here. And yet, I want to encourage you just to enter into this moment. There is something great about just having a few moments of silence. And my guess is that that list of the things of the fruit of the Spirit are things, regardless of what you believe about Jesus, that you want in your life. And so here's what I want to do. I want to encourage you right now just to get into a seating place that just feels comfortable and close your eyes. Close your eyes where you are. And you just take a deep breath for a moment. And maybe even if you're comfortable doing this, just open your hands. Just at a posture of just being able to receive from God. I know that can feel weird in some ways. You don't have to, but maybe you would do that. And I want to ask a couple questions. Are you a person who, as I've been speaking, you've realized, yeah, I've made Jesus my Savior, but I haven't made him my King? I need to release. I need to get off the throne of my own life and allow Jesus to be on it. Maybe for some of you right now, you're going, yeah, I'm completely on mission with helping people to understand that the greatest way to live is with Jesus as our Lord. But the methods I've been using, it smells like a bad glass of orange juice. Maybe you want to invite the Holy Spirit to do some work in you. Maybe as we looked at the list of the fruit of the Spirit, there were things that came to mind that you know in your life and the way that you interact with your family, with your kids, with your coworkers, with other people. Yeah, you're smelling more like you and less like Jesus, and you want that to change. I want to read those different things over us again from Matthew 5. Just listen to this. Keep your eyes closed, hands open. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord God, thank you so much for inviting us into the mission that is so much bigger than we can wrap our minds around. We open our lives to you and ask you to do deep work inside of us to help us to smell more like you, so that when we are poured out, people would ultimately see Jesus. We pray this in your Son's name. All God's people together said, amen.
Jesus, nothing else matters. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you.
I invite you to stand. Let's continue singing this as our prayer. Bobby's going to keep leading us as we sing these words together.
Jesus,
Jesus,
heal my heart.
My heart.
guys, thanks so much for worshiping with us, and thanks, band, for leading us today. We're so grateful for you guys. Well, y'all, as we kind of wrap up our time together, if there is anything at all that you would like prayer for, we're going to have a team of people up here. We'd love to pray for you, so don't be shy after the service to come on up. And also, if you are new, don't forget to stop by the Next Steps area. We'd love to say hello to you. All right, well, for our benediction today, y'all, as we go out of these walls into our community, on mission with God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in all of the places that God has placed us, let us hold fast to these words and be encouraged by these words from Jesus in Matthew 28 again. So Black Hawk Church, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen? Amen. All right, you guys, have a great week.